I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
I don't care if you're 5 years old or 105 years old. Everybody is called to holiness. Wake up, America. I'm reporting for duty. Terry, are you on duty for Jesus Christ, sir?
I certainly am, Jesse. I got the right headset on now. I can hear you, brother. And Jesse, I'm sitting down. I had a little bit of a fall. I had cracked an ankle, so I got to sit for a little bit. But
Oh, yeah.
That's what happens when you get old, Jess. Nobody gets out alive. But you know what? I'm just happy to serve the Lord Jesus. And Jesse, with this Easter season that we're in, I'd love to stay focused on the resurrection. Because, you know, this is what our faith is all about. And in today's show, yes, we're going to be talking about our good friend Dan Burke, who is recovering from the COVID-19 and other issues of the day. But my favorite part of the show, Jesse, I'll tell you what it is, the gospel. Yeah, the good news, because the good news is what sets us free, and we keep our eyes on Jesus, and everything else just seems to fall right into place. So, Jess, the gospel today is John 20, verse 11 to 18, and this is right up our alley with the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So could you please not just read it, Jesse? I want you proclaiming it, brother.
Yes, and I'll tell you, the resurrection is the high point of Christianity.
Yeah.
This is the highest feast day in, because think about it. Miracles are amazing, but there's other people that perform miracles. Moses, Elisha, Elijah, raising people from the dead.
Yep.
In the Old Testament, some of the Old Testament prophets did as well. Healing. There was healings done also by some of the Old Testament prophets as well.
That's right.
But what sets Jesus Christ apart is the resurrection, because before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, people weren't exactly sure what happens when you die.
Right.
Life after death was an enigma. And the question was answered by Jesus' bodily resurrection. Now we know, proof positive for sure, that there's life after death, because Jesus Christ has demonstrated this with his own body, and now he's proclaimed it to the world. And this is what gives us hope.
Amen.
Of all the things in the Catholic Church, the doctrine that gives us hope is the resurrection. Everything builds on that. Because the Eucharist is just a piece of bread if Jesus Christ is not resurrected. Now he can claim, this is my body, glorified body, because he's proven that he's God by the resurrection. Everything, all the sacraments, draw their strength from the resurrected Christ. Not the dead Christ that went through 18 hours of the Passion on Calvary. That's happened to a lot of men, by the way.
Amen.
That's happened to thousands of men. That form of persecution was common with the Persians, Greeks, and Romans. It's the resurrection which sets him apart from Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, Zoroaster, and everybody else. So today's gospel is this.
Jesse, before you read the gospel, I want to say one more thought from St. Paul, and I've heard you preach on this for decades. What did St. Paul say if Christ didn't resurrect from the dead? What did he say about our faith, Jesse?
Our faith is in vain.
That's right.
In other words, that there's no reason to believe in Christ. Just basically eat, drink, and be merry like the Greeks say, for tomorrow we die. If Christ has not risen, our faith is meaningless. It's in vain.
And Jesse,
but the fact is, the resurrection is, as I tell people, the game changer.
It is.
If there's one reason to be a Catholic Christian, it's because of this doctrine, the resurrection. We follow a living Savior, not a dead man in a tomb like the other religions.
And Jesse, after today's show with the Bible with the Barbers, we're going to be addressing some theologians who have been around for about 50, 60 years, who have been very vocal about saying that Jesus didn't really resurrect. And I mean, Monsignor Charles Pope's articles just tear it apart. And we're going to be doing that after today's show the Bible with the barbers. Jess, let's proclaim the Gospel of John to us, please.
John chapter 20, verse 11 to 18.
Yep.
Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping. By the way, Mary Magdalene was a prostitute in her unconverted days.
Yep.
And the tradition of the church is that she was also possessed. And she was one of the most zealous apostles or disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ once she became converted. It says, as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there. By the way, in the book of Sirach, it tells the Jews that when somebody dies, you're to weep for two or three days.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see Mary Magdalene following what Jewish scripture says. And also the Lord Jesus, when Lazarus died, it says Jesus wept. This is found in the book of Sirach. This is the proper attitude that one must have when somebody passes away, because we mourn their loss in this lifetime. It says about the two angels, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus, why didn't she know? Because Jesus Christ now had a glorified body. So he looked different, much different from what you saw in the Passion of the Christ. And that's the last time Mary Magdalene saw Jesus. She saw him beat to a pulp, bloody, his flesh torn open, a crown of thorns, his eyes black with, you know, blackened and darkened, his body with punches. And so that was the last time she saw Christ. Now she's looking at the perfected body, immortal, glorified, perfect, in integrity, physical integrity of the body of Jesus Christ. So she's not used to that, because she remembers how she saw him. So when she sees Jesus, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. So notice there's something interesting here. She calls her Mary by name. Jesus calls her Mary, and she recognizes his voice.
Yep.
That's what Jesus tells us in John chapter 11. My sheep hear my voice,
yeah,
and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Mary Magdalene is one of the sheep now of Christ. She doesn't recognize him physically, but she hears his voice, the voice of the Master. And as it says in John chapter 11, those who hear the voice of the Master will follow Jesus. And that's exactly what we see happening right here. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. So two things here. Mary's holding on to Jesus, and Jesus is saying, "Look it, I still have to ascend to heaven. Don't hold on to me because I can't stay here. I'm not going to stay here forever, but I will send my spirit that will live in you, and my spirit will take you to heaven at the appointed time when you die in a state of grace. But I've got to go back to heaven, so quit holding on to me. I can't stay here for too much longer." And what else does he say to her? Mary runs back to Jerusalem, to where the apostles are hiding. I can imagine her. She's probably doing a wind sprint, like one of those Olympic 100-yard dash runners. She's doing a wind sprint. She gets back to Jerusalem. I can imagine, man, she just like flies through that door, and she's telling the apostles, who are afraid and depressed, "He's alive. He's risen. I saw him." So here's something interesting. The first woman, the first person disciple that saw the risen Christ was a woman.
That's right.
Now, Catholic tradition tells us that the mother of Jesus was the first woman that saw Jesus risen from the dead at 3 a.m. And that's found from Blessed Mary of Agreda,
right,
in her book, The Mystical City of God.
Jesse, I have to ask a spiritual warfare question, because Mary Magdalene, tradition has that she was possessed. Now, she obviously repented for her sins because she was outside the tomb weeping for Jesus's, you know, death. And here's my question. Why is it, Jesse, that not only prostitution, abortion, all these disordered actions that people make do, that the devil jumps on that and encourages people to continue in that wayward life? Why is the devil so influential when it comes to mortal sin?
Because our body's supposed, as for the believer, our body's meant to be a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And so what the devil does, as Father Gabler Moore says in his book, An Exorcist Tells a Story, the devil tries to get the human person to misuse their body.
You got it.
Father Gabler Moore. The devil tries to get human beings to misuse their body. Why? Because he knows that we're made in the image and likeness of God, and we know our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit at baptism. And so, and the common way that demons attack human beings, there's three of them, but one of the three ways is sexual perversion. If a demon can get you to start doing unclean things sexually with your body, that opens the door to the diabolical, and that apparently is what happened in the case of Mary Magdalene. According to the tradition, if she was a prostitute, according to the tradition, the Bible doesn't tell us that specifically, but the tradition does, then that's how the diabolical possessed her.
That makes sense. When we come back, we're going to talk about our good friend Dan Burke, who recovered from the COVID-19. And we'll talk more. We're going to bring Bishop Sheen into the room in the second segment. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And I want to say happy Easter Tuesday. We'll be right back.
Attention VMPR listeners, we've talked at length about the attack on our youth through popular culture media, but what if I told you there was someone trying to make a difference? The newest novel, Britfield and the Lost Crown, by C.R. Stewart, is reaching schools across America and sharing Christian morals alongside great storytelling. What if I told you that this mission needs your help? To reach more children, Britfield and the Lost Crown need funding for their ongoing book tour. If you're interested in making a difference, if you're interested in buying the book, or are curious and want more information, go to BritfieldInstitute.org. That's B-R-I-T-F-I-E-L-D Institute.org. Or email media@Britfield.com. Help open up the world of Britfield and the Lost Crown to people everywhere.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Terry, thanks be to God to Dan Burke, one of our friends.
Yes.
He runs the Avila Institute, spiritualdirection.com.
Yep.
He was also the former editor for EWTN. He ran the newspaper.
He did.
He's recovered from the Wuhan Communist Chinese virus, and he says, I'm alive because of your prayers. What else does he say, Terry?
Well, what else he says is this. I remember one of his employees calling me and telling me about Dan being sick and that he was going to be going on a ventilator and what we would lift him up in prayer. So obviously we prayed before the Blessed Sacrament here at our chapel, and many others prayed for him, and she kept getting me within hours texts about how he was getting better, worse, and it was really tight. But what I really like about Dan, he said this because he has other problems with his vascular.
Yeah, his pre-existing lung problems.
Lots of lung problems. And he even said this. He said, I'm alive because of your prayers. Yeah, he said that, and his wife. But he said, I told my son that if the virus became a global threat, and I get it, you need to understand that it will be the end for me. So Dan and Stephanie then explained that they both contracted the Wuhan virus while traveling between Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, and Denver International Airports. Just I want to say, everybody I know that is a Catholic speaker got this on a plane. Brother, your angel must have been working overtime for you and Anita, because nobody traveled more during that time than the Romeros, okay? So I'm just saying, you were there on a plane every single weekend.
Every weekend.
And nothing happened to you. So I praise God for that. But they began showing these symptoms back in March 17th, about 8 days after the traveling. And I even thought about that with you, Jesse, myself, that is Jess and Anita going to get it because they've been traveling? Nope, they didn't get it. But on March 21st, the Burks headed to the hospital. Stephanie, his wife, said she was weeping. And you know what, Jess? I've seen Anita when she took you to the hospital thinking you were going to die when you had problems a couple years ago. She was weeping. She didn't want to have you leave. So you can have empathy for this family. Dan,
absolutely.
Yeah, Dan was incubated within a few hours. And, you know, things didn't look good. Dan said he was ready to die, and he was at peace with that. Jess, this is a man who spiritually is really well-formed. But you know what I really thought was interesting? He said, I've had more hospitalizations than I can even remember because his health has been bad. And I was thinking about all of you and preparing to make my sufferings count by joining it with the sufferings of Christ and offering it up for all the prayers requested. You know, Jesse, this is what our good Paul Clay did, offering his suffering with the unions of the sufferings of Christ. And what Dan has did is he put everything on the line. He just said, you know what, I'm ready to die, and if God wills it, then praise God, but I'm going to offer up at my suffering for the conversion of sinners. That, to me, shows me he's a real man.
Yep, it would have been, Dan Burke is, he's a gift to the church. I mean, he left a very good position over at EWTN.
Right.
Can you imagine? He was the news president for EWTN.
Yep.
But his real love is to help people become saints, help people become holy. So he left that probably a good paying job for all I know.
Oh, yeah.
And he went to what his first love is. And I'm sure he doesn't make nearly the amount of money that he was making with EWTN. But all he does is he runs a spiritualdirection.com and Avila Institute. He helps people in their interior life, what's called interiority. That's what he's all about, is helping people live in the presence of God and become saints. So it would have been kind of a tragedy had he passed away, because there's not a lot of Catholics that do what he does. And he does it better than anybody I've seen. So thanks be to God that he's around. Terry, also, what did Fulton Sheen have to tell us today?
Oh, my gosh.
We forgot to bring in the locomotive.
Yeah, well, we did. But you know what, Jess? You gave some great commentary on Scripture. Let's bring that freight train in, Mr. Engineer. Full Sheen ahead. This fits right into Easter week, Jesse, when we're celebrating the octave of Easter. And I'll tell you, Jesse, I'm going to be honest with you. This hit me so much more this year because of the virus that's going, the Wuhan virus, and how everybody's running scared right now, including people in our church, okay? I just said it, because here's what Bishop Sheen said. The divine Savior never said to his apostles, be good, and you will not suffer. But he did say, in this world you shall have tribulations. He told them not to fear those who kill the body, but rather fear those who can kill the soul. He's told the apostles that his life was a model for all of his followers. It was the cross of Christ that raised the question of life. It was the resurrection that answered them. Jess, I can't think of a more appropriate statement for our time right now is to remember that mortal sin is more deadly than any virus. And matter of fact, Jesse, mortal sin can send us to hell for all eternity. This virus, the worst thing it can do, Jesse, is cause my death, which would mean I would meet Jesus. And if I'm in the state of grace, I have nothing to fear.
Then it's like Father, the priest, the Egyptian Coptic priest, our
Father Zachariah Boutros.
He said, if you're in a state of grace and you die, it's a positive option.
Yep.
That's what he called
it. We have to have that faith.
Yeah. Death is a positive option if you're in a state of grace. Now, if you're in a state of mortal sin, then it's horrible. But once again, that's where free will kicks in, and everybody has to make that decision whether to follow Jesus or not. Terry, there's a short little article I want to share here by Fred Martinez. He's a good Catholic journalist.
Yeah.
And he writes here, even totalitarian China didn't have a total shutdown like U.S. Democrats want for their totalitarian paradise.
That's true.
He says, the country's most successful in containing the Wuhan virus were such as anti-communist Taiwan and South Korea have had no lockdowns, which proves that lockdowns are a Chinese communist tactic.
Can Jesse, repeat that one more time, because I think we're shocked when we hear countries that have been successful didn't do lockdowns. Say it one more time, because we need to hear that.
Taiwan and communist and South Korea, they had no lockdowns.
That's right.
Which proves that lockdowns are a Chinese communist tactic. But if President Donald Trump believes he must follow his leftist pro-abortion Bill Gates collaborator, medical advisors, in using the totalitarian tactic as the way to go, then why not follow the model completely? The city of Wuhan had 80% of the coronavirus death toll for the whole country of China, so the Marxist regime did a total lockdown of that city and other hot spot Chinese provinces, states, but it didn't have a total shutdown of most of its states, according to the U.S. scientist Clifford Lane, who visited China during the lockdowns. He said, quote, in most of the Chinese states, it wasn't a total lockdown. It was a lot of restrictions, and it wasn't that the city was shut down and the people shouldn't go out. Close quote. It appears that New York State has approximately 50% of the virus deaths for the entire country. So why not just lock down New York and other few hot spots, like the Marxist regime did, if you want to follow the communist model and free the rest of the country? If the leftist Democrat governors refuse, then let them destroy their state's economies as much and as long as they want. He says it will be like in the Civil War era. The leftist states will be the slave states and the conservative states will be the free states. An even better comparison would be between communist East Berlin and free West Berlin. The Democrat Party runs states like the communist East Berlin with long lines, empty store shelves, snitches everywhere, and police harassment of religion and innocent persons, which sounds like the present situation. While the Republican Party runs states will be like the free West Berlin with prosperity, cordiality, and police harassing criminals and not innocent citizens who want to go to mass or other religious services, which sounds like before the lockdown. Maybe the communist Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden Democrat governors will even have to build Berlin-like walls to not let people escape from their socialist totalitarian paradises like East Berlin did. It's time for Catholics and for all who love freedom in Republican states to start putting pressure on their governors to make their states free like West Berlin, just as the governor of Texas apparently wants to do. And also pray in our Father right now for God to give President Trump and the governor of Texas the grace to do his will in this present crisis. Let's pray, Terry.
You bet.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I would also like to ask you to sign that petition that Dr. Janet Smith was on Friday. We are an Easter people that says to our bishops that we want our sacraments back. We want somehow to be able to receive Holy Communion using the social distancing and all that safely to receive Holy Communion and get to Mass, maybe outdoor Masses, but come up with something creative because we're starving. And Jesse, I'm going to say it right now. Go to the St. Joseph Foundation. They've got canon lawyers, and they basically have said that canon law says that we have a right to the sacraments and that what went on is not according to what the canon law of the church is. And so I just want to humbly ask you to sign that petition and ask your bishop to say, please do what you can to give us the sacraments. We were dying on the reed if we can't get the Jesus in the Eucharist. I know we can make spiritual communions, but I think it's possible for us to receive the sacraments in a safe manner, and that's what I'd like to ask our bishops to do. Also, one more thing. Send your bishop, Archbishop Sheen's his priest retreat that we're giving away here at the Virgin Most Powerful. Send it to your pastor, your associate, while they're not able to do all their ministry. Maybe they can listen to a weekend retreat called Cora Cora, The Heart of Christ by Archbishop Sheen. Give one, just call 877-526-2151 or go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and we'll send you the link so that you could send the link. You don't have to, we're going to use social distancing. You don't have to go see the priest for it. You got an email address for him? Send him the link so he could be inspired by one of the greatest preachers of the entire church, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. And if you want to make a little donation to help us move forward with this project, to build our priest's faith up, I'll tell you what, I think what will happen. Are you ready? I think some of these bishops are going to bring the Blessed Sacrament and start blessing dioceses from up on airplanes or on hills. That's going to happen. You know why? Because laity are going to encourage our bishops and priests to be bold with the Blessed Sacrament. Because if we really believe that Jesus is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, then we need to act like it. And I just want to encourage you to send your pastor, your bishop, Archbishop Sheen's the priest retreat by Fulton Sheen. And you just go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio or call us at 877-526-2151. Jesse, when we come back, hit it, man. We're going to talk about the liberal elites. And are they planning a post-corona world that leaves God, faith far behind? I think so, Jesse. Let's explore that. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're not right versus left. We're right versus wrong. And you know what I can say is we want to help you be inspired with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Dr. John Horvat has written a great article. It's called Liberal Elites Are Already Planning a Post-Corona World That Leaves God, Faith Far Behind.
Amen. That's a fact.
And he says, anyone who thinks that the coronavirus, I'm just going to read what he says here.
Says it well.
Represented a truce in the raging culture war is very mistaken. The war is only going to accelerate. In other words, get worse.
Yep.
He says, likewise, anyone who thinks there's a need to construct complex conspiracy theories to explain what is happening is also mistaken. Progressive thinkers clearly state how they conceive the post-corona order. They do not think in terms of a narrative in which everything will return to normal. I mean, you have governors like Cuomo saying, we're never going to go back to normal. This is the new normal. They say the storm will pass, but the world will be changed forever, preferably in their own liberal image and liberal likeness. So the thoughts of these visionaries should be a cause of concern to those who defend a moral order. That's us and people of faith. Their forecasts exclude the views of such defenders as hopelessly backward and even dangerous. Let me just
finish with what the visionary guy. This is very important because you got to think of what these mindsets that have been preaching, a state of government without God. This is very important, Jesse.
So this he talks about this one visionary, in quotes. Name is, he's a history professor at Hebrew University of Jerusalem. His name is Yuval Harari. He's a history professor. And he's no writer on the fringe of things. His books have come out on the New York Times bestsellers. He's also enjoyed endorsements from people like former President Barack Obama and Bill Gates.
That tells you who he is.
So in other words, his liberal credentials are established.
Yeah.
Okay, Professor Harari has all the liberal credentials, and his post-corona forecast appears in the establishment mouthpieces like the Financial Times. In his worldview, Professor Harari, this liberal professor,
check this out.
He reflects a secular world without faith. In fact, in his 2017 book called God-Man, Homo Deus, Dr. Harari argues there is no God, no soul, and no free will.
Wow.
For him, life is merely a succession of chemical reactions and algorithms that interact and evolve with nature.
Sad.
He believes that techno-enabled humanity will eventually become immortal gods, lowercase g. Thus, this postmodern wizard, Dr. Harari, represents the cutting edge of progressive thought. That is why when he speaks, he makes sense to listen. He's the author. The author makes three chilling observations about the post-corona future that should not be ignored.
Amen to that.
The first thing he says is that the coronavirus is going to change the economy, politics, and culture radically within a short time frame if world leaders act quickly and decisively.
We see that happening right now, Jesse.
He says this crisis will fast forward historical processes.
They will allow officials to conduct massive experiments using even dangerous technologies. Yep. Decisions that normally would take years or even decades of deliberation will be passed in a matter of hours.
Wow.
In this climate of panic, people will accept the measures that they would never accept, that they would never agree to in normal times. And those who share this vision do not desire a return to normal, as Governor Cuomo and other liberal governors have said. This is the new normal. Get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
The article says they want a different order. That's the liberals. Yeah. The liberals want a different order that reflects their worldview. By the way, they're very happy with shutting down the churches.
Yes.
That's one of the things that they have to do to establish their new world secular order. The article says this future is not presented as a choice, but a consummated fact. The crisis will quickly impose it upon the nations. There's no back to an old order. In other words, to the Judeo-Christian order.
Jesse, before you go on, let's just be honest about this. It's all about fear. And the gospel of Jesus Christ says fear is useless. And what's happening in this, it's going on right as we speak, that people are being told that, oh, we have to do this because this virus is going to kill millions of people, and then everybody's going to die, and they won't be able to do, society won't be able to continue on. And I have to say this, Jesse, they're lying. I have a great article, and we won't talk about it today, but it says the numbers that they just don't line up, cases for panicking over this virus. It's falling apart, and the numbers are saying that. Many doctors and friends of mine have told me, They're padding the numbers. So this article is very important because what's happening, Jesse, is we're being the wool is being pulled over our eyes. What I mean by that is they're making it like fear mongers, and so that people will change just because, well, we have to change. We don't have a choice. You know what, Jesse? We do have a choice. But continue, because the article is spot on, because again, it all comes back down to scaring the people to say we have to do this because if you don't, you will die. That's what they're saying.
And this could be, by the way, what we're going through right now.
Yeah.
This could be what the Catechism called in paragraph 675,
yeah,
the church's ultimate trial, which is religious deception,
yeah,
which apostasy from the truth. I'll read that in the next segment.
Hey, Jesse, before you continue, I'm just going to throw this out at people, and they're going to call me a radical, but I don't mind. I could see something happening that I told you off the air that I was going to say it on the air. I said, Jess, you know what I could see happening? That they come up with this antidote to solve this problem of the virus, and they're going to have to give you a shot, and you have to take this shot, because if you don't take this shot, you can't go to the grocery store. You can't go anywhere. And I thought about this. I said, wow, am I dreaming? No, Jess, I think it's possible that we could get to this point where they're going to tell us, yeah, we've got the solution, and you have to take this. And I forgot to add, by the way, the medicine that they're going to get it from is aborted babies, which is immoral for us to take. And so, Jesse, this could be coming. And this article is warning us to say that they're going to get this through because of fear. Oh, Jesse, you won't lie. Jesse, you're going to die if you don't take this vaccine. Guess what? I won't take it, and I will die eventually, because last time I looked, Jess Romero, nobody gets out alive. And I think that they're going to pressure us to compromise our faith. Okay, continue. That's my take.
And also something very interesting here is that 2,000 years ago,
yeah,
the Roman emperors, Nero, Caesar, the book of Revelation talks about people taking the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
And that was, the mark of the beast is a reference to people rejecting Christ,
yep,
rejecting God, and accepting the Roman emperor as the God-man,
yeah,
and his decrees,
wow,
and his false teachings. And so, you know, the mark of the beast in the forehead and on the right hand,
yeah,
that's basically saying that you accept intellectually,
yep,
the world's system, the rejection of God in your mind, in your intellect, and also your right hand presents work. That's, you know,
yeah,
people you say, you know, you put your right hand out, you start working.
Yep.
That also, that you would also serve this, you know, this governmental system and reject God at the same time. You will no longer work for God. You're going to work for this governmental system. So I'm telling you, Terry, we're living in a very, very strange time right now.
I see it coming. I see it coming, brother. Keep going, though, yeah.
The article says, those who share this vision do not desire a return to normal. They want a different order that reflects their worldview. Implicit in the declarations of Professor Harari is that old paradigms, that's the Judeo-Christian ethic.
Yeah, got to get rid of it.
Western civilization.
Yep.
Must change in conformity with global solidarity.
Wow.
That's communism. That's Marxism. And that's spoken about in paragraphs 675 and 676 of the Catechism.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about this intrinsically political form of a secular messianism that apostatizes from the truth. This secular worldly political messianism, it's a religious deception which rejects the Catholic faith.
Revelation.
What did they have to do? They had to shut down the Mass and the sacrament.
That's right. It's rejecting revelation of Christianity. They want Christianity out of the picture. And you, I think about it. They're, and this is my big challenge with Mr. Horvitz's article, is that he's backing all this up with what they're saying and what's actually happening today. It's actually fairly scary, but you know what? Let's don't be scared. Let's put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that we're going to live holy lives. And so we're just going to continue. So if they ever try to force you to compromise on your faith, here at the Lord's Gym and the Terry and Jesse Show, we want you to say, you know what? I'd rather die than compromise, because what's the worst thing they can do? Kill me? And then I get to go to heaven if I'm living in the state of grace. Let's be honest. That's really what we need. But we need strong faith to defend ourselves and our
family.
And if
they kill you for Jesus and you're in a state of grace, you go straight to heaven. No purgatory.
That's awesome.
It's a positive option, whatever they want to do. If they want to start forcing people to do things that are immoral, not on my watch.
Nope.
Professor Harari, he said, it says, informed technocrats using science and data will be much more capable of ruling the world than elected officials. We see that now.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
running the world? It's scientists.
Yeah.
It's the World Health Organization.
Right.
By the way, funded by, in large part, by Bill Gates.
Follow the money.
Who's a depopulation control freak. I'll just put it that way. I mean, this guy, Bill Gates, is on record saying in his many TED Talks that he wants to reduce the population of planet Earth by 1 billion people.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so Dr. Horvat writes, the most disturbing aspect of this observation about the future is its stealth character. It enters into the scene, not unlike the coronavirus, quickly and without the consent of those directly affected.
Wow.
What does that mean? None of us asked for this.
No.
All these shutdowns. We can't go to church, can't go to work.
That's right.
You got to stay home. Social. We didn't ask for this.
Nope.
This was forced upon us. Harry.
When we come back, we're going to continue on John Horvitz's article. Liberal elites are already planning a post-corona world that leaves God, the faith, far behind. He demonstrates this, and this is why we as Christians, as Catholics, need to stand up for Jesus. This is our moment to proclaim Jesus Christ loud and forever. We'll be right back with much more.
Finding the right doctor for your obstetric and gynecological needs can be difficult. Do you want a doctor with impeccable references and ethical practices? One who is trustworthy and well-researched? Dr. Aceta is that doctor. As a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community, Dr. Aceta provides expert care guided by his Catholic teachings, focusing on the patient's needs according to his own specialty. Call Dr. Aceta for all your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-595-5617. Again, 661-595-5617 for quality care without compromise.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry, let me give my thoughts on this.
We're replacing God, Jesse. Go ahead. The state is becoming a God.
Okay, here's my thoughts. This is not the article. This is Jess Romero.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
I don't trust Bill Gates, Terry, as far as I can throw
a good
him.
Reason.
I'm going to tell you why. He is on record as being a globalist that wants to reduce the population of planet Earth by a billion people.
That's right.
I was watching another YouTube video of his wife.
I watched it too.
His wife is all over the YouTube.
By year 220. Yep.
She wants every woman to be put on birth control.
By 220.
Okay?
Yep, 2000.
She goes, oh, I'm a Roman Catholic, who cares? Every woman to be put on birth control. Both these billion, their money's got to their head, Terry.
That's right.
Okay. And so I believe this whole Wuhan virus has been orchestrated, obviously, by Satan, first of all. But here's the players in my take.
Okay.
The Chinese communists, they hate God, they hate Christianity.
Yep.
Bill Gates, George Soros, and all these other globalists that want to reduce planet Earth by billions of people.
Right.
And I believe there's more here than what we're being told. I think that this whole Wuhan coronavirus isn't as big as the problem as it's being made out to be. I think they're padding the numbers, Terry.
I agree.
Many of these Wuhan deaths that are being reported, they're old people that had previous conditions.
That's right.
And in fact, their deaths were probably caused by other things. And they just said, just right here, Wuhan virus or COVID-19 death. And so they're padding, Terry, the deaths, because some of these people were already in the hospital.
That's right.
They had other medical problems.
Of course.
They had previous conditions that they actually died from.
That's right.
And they may have tested positive for this virus, but they just said, he had cancer, he had the Wuhan virus. Just put on the death certificate, he died of Wuhan virus, okay? Not cancer. So what's happening here, they're using fear.
That's right.
To stop the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
Yep.
To stop the sacraments.
Yep.
To control the population with fear by staying indoors.
Yep.
This is government control. This is not good. And God, in his infinite mercy and justice, God's allowed this to happen, and he's allowed us to fall under the reign of these evil men. And I don't believe this happened by accident, but God's in control. But the saddest part about all of this is that our church leaders, this was time for them to become, Edmund Campions, exactly, or Blessed Miguel Pro, or Thomas Becket.
Yeah.
They didn't stand up for us, Terry.
Nope.
And who knows? Some of our leaders may actually be in league with some of these globalists. And again, as I said, Bill Gates is the major funder of the World Health Organization. He's given $105 million to combat the quote-unquote coronavirus. He's also given this organization $327 million in the past to the World Health Organization. And guess what? Dr. Fauci, he's part of the leadership council.
All right, it comes out.
That comprises the doctors that are on the board of the World Health Organization. Terry, something stinks.
It smells.
Something smells bad. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I pray to God that somebody just cracks this nut.
It's going to be cracked, Jesse, because disinformation is getting out right now, and people are starting to say, wait a minute, the numbers don't add up. This is not true. But you know what, Jesse? This article, I want people to read the rest of it, because there's a whole section
there's
about global solidarity. You know, his observations are really clear. The professor claims that this post-corona society must choose between what he calls the nationalist isolation and global solidarity. He says the normal option of a nation that affirms its own identity yet shares a common humanity is not on the table. See, here's what it comes down to, Jesse. We're wanting a one-world government. I know that sounds terrible. Jesse, the writing's
on the
wall,
catechism.
Man.
It's right in paragraph 675 and 676.
Read it, would you please?
It says, before the second coming of Christ, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The persecution
it's here.
That accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth.
That's exactly what's going on.
We're being told now that science is our sacrament.
Yep.
Science is our trinity. It's our deity. Science is the fullness of truth, and we now reject what Jesus Christ has given us. In fact, lock it up. Close the churches, close the sacraments.
Yep.
That's medieval superstition. Yep. Science is God. Science is our new faith. It's our new religion.
You nailed it.
And that's exactly what it says here in paragraph 675. Yep. It says, the supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in the place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh. And it says, the church has even rejected modifying forms of this falsification of the kingdom to come under the name of millenarianism. In other words, we as human beings, we can make the perfect society by human means, by human ingenuity, by human science. We can do that. And that's exactly where we're moving towards. Exactly. And the catechism says this must be rejected. It says especially the intrinsically perverse political form of a secular messianism. Terry, I see these globalists, starting with Bill Gates and the World Health Organization, they want to become the magisterium of the world. Listen to us. Reject what's been taught by Jesus Christ Church for 2,000 years. Listen to us, and we will live in global solidarity because we are your daddy, the government, and listen to your daddy, and all things will be well.
Jesse, I couldn't agree. You nailed it. I want to remind people who are listening on YouTube, our numbers are going up every day, Facebook, all the social media. Follow us on it and then like us, thumbs up, and tell your friends to listen to us. That's how we're growing leaps and bounds with our app. We have that free app. People can hear all of our shows, like the one that's coming up next with the Bible with the Barbers. Also, Jesse, I want to remind us, all of our Catholic people who have businesses, just go to our CatholicRC.org website, upload your business card. We want people to support you. We know that this virus has knocked a lot of businesses for a loop. This is our way of reaching out and saying, you know, we want to help you. Also, if you didn't hear about our free giveaway, if you want to make a donation, that's great, but you don't have to. And that is with Fulton Sheen's retreat for your priests. We need to build our priesthood up. A lot of our priests are feeling like, well, what am I doing? I'm sitting at home. I mean, well, if they understand their priesthood, they'll live it better. And I think Fulton Sheen can do that. It's a priest retreat. It's like 11 talks. We'll send you an MP3 link with an email, and you can socially distance it by forwarding it to your pastor, your bishop, and say, would you mind listening to this retreat? I think it'll build your faith in the Lord Jesus. This is our way to reach out and build up the body because we are weak. Jesse, there's no question about the church right now, because if we were strong, we wouldn't be rolling over the way we're doing it right now. That's my take, Jess.
Yep. Just a couple of nuggets from this article that Dr. Horvath says. He says, the second observation of Dr. Harari is the coming age of universal surveillance of citizens.
You get that?
He notes that the coronavirus is already bringing online instruments of public monitoring dwarf all past efforts to keep watch over people.
Yep.
He says his solution is not to rebuild trust in the family, these globalists or the community or the church. Instead, these globalists list institutions that have betrayed this trust in the past and are found at the core of the culture war. In other words, we're being told right now, don't trust community or your church or your family. Trust science. Trust these earth movers.
Yep.
Dr. Horvath says people, he quotes these globalists, people need to trust science to trust public authorities and to trust the media, he notes. Adding to the tension, he decries the conspiracy theories and irresponsible politicians who have deliberately undermined trust in science, in public authorities, and in the media. Lastly, he says this, global cooperation is also needed on the economic front as rich nations will be invited to share the wealth. What does that sound like?
Uh-huh.
Socialism.
Of course.
Such communal dreams of global cooperation are hardly new. They have long populated the dreams of utopian social planners who are only too willing to impose their plans upon the world, always with catastrophic results. Nevertheless, the panic of this crisis is how the inconceivable becomes possible. And finally, it says, Dr. Hurara, his game plan excludes a moral framework,
of course,
based on objective standards of right and wrong or even the rule of law.
Yeah.
As one who believes in neither the soul or free will, he denies any role of religion and God. His is a cold, brutal world without purpose or redemption. And we even have Henry Kissinger chiming in. He says, he repeats the idea. He says, the crisis will forever alter the world order.
Wow.
Harry, this reminds me of a book that came out in 1932. It's called A Brave New World.
That's right.
It was written by Aldous Huxley.
Yeah.
And in this book, he talks about a future society, a future world that is centrally controlled by a powerful government through the use of various techniques. And one of them is the sexualization of children. It looks like the Brave New World, Terry, is here.
Oh, it's happening. And Jesse, with a solution to all this, folks, is really holiness. We talk about the five stones of David. Jess, we got a minute and a half. Hit it real quick on the five stones.
The five stones of David. Pray the rosary every day from your heart or you're not on Team Jesus. Number two, make spiritual communion with Jesus every day. Look at a picture of Jesus. Go on the internet and look at an adoration chapel at the Blessed Sacrament. Pray to Jesus. You can even do a holy hour here at your house in your computer, looking at the Blessed Sacrament and these thousands of chapels that are YouTubing it. Number three, read the daily mass readings every day. They're on the internet. They're on your iPhone. They're on different devotional guides like Magnificat. That's the one that I use. Number four, remember on Fridays, we got to bump it up. Penance, penance, penance. You might want to include fasting. You might want to include abstaining from meat. On Fridays, penance. Want to go old school Wednesdays and Fridays. And finally, at night before you go to bed, try to do a perfect act of contrition out of love for God and get to confession as soon as possible. But examine your conscience every night. Make a perfect act of contrition out of love for God to the best of your ability.
Terry. Absolutely, Jesse. You nailed it. Up next, the Bible with the Barbers. We're going to be talking about the resurrection with Monsignor Charles Pope. You won't want to miss that. He nails it with all the scripture verses. Also, I have some good news to share with the Bible with the Barbers. And I want to mention that the state that you should be living in is the state of grace. And the state you shouldn't be living in, even for a second, the state of mortal sin. Tomorrow when we come back, Jesse and I will have another show that should inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ. We don't put our trust in men. We put it in the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, who's your Savior, who's the world's Savior, because there's no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.